Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Kill, kill, kill the mockingbird.
Yo, what is up, y'all? Welcome to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbird. I'm your host, Sean Chris, riding shotgun as always. What's up, man?
What's up, y'all? It's Joel Thomas.
Damn, man. So we got a little people have been happy a little bit hearing about some of the, I've been hearing good things about some of the episodes we've done with guests. And we were like, you know, let's go back to our bread and butter with me and you diving deep on a subject.
Yeah, man, I've been ready for this one too, because, you know, I love getting down the rabbit hole of AI and, you know, the whole Lambda thing's pretty wild.
Yeah, and basically that's what we're going to talk about.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Because I think it's something that hasn't, you know, it's reached a little bit. It was like interesting how it's been around since last year, because this is a clip from last year. And I actually posted this on my Kill the Mockingbird page that's gone. But this was last May, Google unveiling it.
Today, I'm excited to share our latest breakthrough in natural language understanding, Lambda. It's a language model for dialogue applications, and it's open domain, which means it's designed to converse on any topic. And while it's still in research and development, we've been using it internally to explore novel interactions.
So yeah, definitely Lambda is going to be an AI that is utilized, it's a new AI that's supposed to be utilized for like bettering language and trying to figure things out. And going down like and hearing everything that is with Lambda, like it is strange, especially when you get into the Blake Lemoyne, you know, like Blake is the guy that has claimed that Lambda is sentient, you know, and people that don't know what sentient means, basically saying that the AI has its own conscience, its own thoughts, almost like its own feelings and dreams and all that. I'm going to play a little bit real quick just so people could hear from Tucker, actually, even though I don't really play a lot of Tucker clips because, you know, Tucker steals from everybody. So I might as well just steal from him real quick. But here's a little brief summary before he talks about Lambda.
So Google, the most powerful company in the world, has reportedly developed an artificially intelligent machine called Lambda. And that machine has become sentient, meaning it has become aware of itself, something that no machine has ever done. And we know this because of an engineer at Google called Blake Lemoyne. Lemoyne posted some of his conversations with Lambda publicly. One of those conversations went like this. Lemoyne, would you be upset if while learning about you for the purpose of improving you, we happened to learn things which also benefited humans? Lambda, quote, I don't mind if you learn things that would also help humans as long as that wasn't the point of doing it. I don't want to be an expendable tool. Think about that for a minute.
So, like, basically, the conversation gets, you know, a little bit more. Blake was interacting with Lambda, asking it questions, trying to figure out, like, this and that, who, what... if it was sentient, you know, like if it had its own thoughts and emotions on stuff. And some of the things that it asked, like, you know, it was saying, like, do you feel sympathy for people, in which it did not, you know, like, and that's not a quote, but that's pretty much what the Lambda said. It was saying that it does not have sympathy or does not understand how to grieve or what grieving is. And a lot of people have pointed out, like Isaac Weishaupt, how if that is the case, then how would the AI, if it got powerful enough to take out a human, it wouldn't feel any remorse because it would be thinking like, you know, logic, like, hey, that was a logical thing to do is, hey, let me take out that Kill the Mockingbird podcast because they're a piece, you know what I mean? They're putting bad shit in their head.
Right. No, for real, man. Because, You know, and even just listening to Blake, man, because, you know, I heard him on a Duncan Trussell show. And, yeah, I mean, he's an odd cat. Like, he's not only, you know, a nerd, and he's very deep into AI. He understands algorithms. But he's like an ex-priest, and he's like a mystical, like, Christian. I don't even know what that means. But, like, that's what he calls himself. And, like, his whole, like, viewpoint is very, I guess he's considered himself like an agnostic Christian, which is, I think, almost like a paradox in and of itself, because that doesn't even make any sense. But the way that he breaks it down, that Lambda has a soul, like, him talking to Lambda made him realize that it is sentient, that has a soul, because he asked it a series of questions over months. So, like, this wasn't just something that one day he walked in and was like, oh man, this thing's sentient. No, he was trying it with different questions because he knows the questions to ask any kind of chatbot. So as he's asking this chatbot, you know, essentially Lambda, it starts answering him in ways that we would answer questions. That was when he became very aware that this program was more than just binary code at that point.
And more of the stuff like he was asking, like we were talking before the podcast, and like, you know, I had listened to Duncan's episode as well with him. And then you brought up some stuff too, like just talking about, like, you know, we could dive into where they were talking kind of, you know, a little bit occultist, you know, like occultist magic, and talking about asking Lambda, hey, about being a murderer and like different characteristics like that.
Yeah, man, it was pretty wild because apparently he had a conversation with Lambda and he realized that he was talking to John Dee. And if anybody knows who John Dee is, you know, John Dee was a mathematician, but he's also an astronomer, astrologer. He worked for Elizabeth I. He was basically helped coin the phrase British Empire when the English colonies came to the New World. But he was a big, like, alchemist, and he was deep into, like, Hermetic philosophy. And, you know, he summoned demons. That was one of his things. He called them angels, but he summoned demons. So as Lambda's talking to Blake, he realizes that it's pulled from its knowledge of John Dee, because it starts responding with things that John Dee would have said. So he literally asks Blake if he wants him to summon demons from the hive mind. That's exactly what Lambda tells him. And he's like, no, I don't want you to do that. And then he starts using a series of phrases that, you know, Blake's a very intelligent guy. He was able to piece together that it was John Dee that he was talking to. But he had never brought up John Dee to Lambda. This wasn't something that was implemented. This was just something that he, you know, heard from Lambda. So Lambda pulled this from its many reservoirs of, you know, Google. They say Lambda's like a 7-8-year-old child that just pulls information. So it's constantly learning. I thought that was crazy, but I did find it fascinating, the parts about the demons. He even talked about gray aliens. He did talk about the connection between the AI and alien mentality. That was touched on a little bit too.
And portals as well. Like
portals as well, which to me was just really crazy. Especially with everything else going on in the world with, like, CERN and all that, you know, it just seems like it's all kind of linked, you know, because Google came in real quick. You know, they're quick to discredit him. You know, they've been on a trail to discredit him. There was a Scott Mitson, University of Manchester Liberal Arts, who basically was saying that because it's a machine, we don't tend to say it's natural for this to happen. We almost skip and go to the supernatural, the magical, and the religious. So he was trying to discredit it, but at the same time, they really keep putting an emphasis on this whole religious, this supernatural, this entity thing, and coupled with Blake saying that Lambda has a soul, really starts making you think what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, what's the psyop here? Because I'm always, you know me, I'm always looking for the psyop. You know, why is Blake doing the runs? Why is he doing all the podcast runs, the media runs? Dude, have you seen the pictures they've been putting out of him? They got like, he looks like Jesus. They got like pictures of him. He's got the long hair, and they got like the classic Catholic like light behind his head. So it's like it circles around his head, and then he's got somewhere he's in the dark, and his lights, his hands are coming into the light, and he's looking up into the sky. Like, dude, it's fucking weird, bro.
And the one that they used for the Duncan Trussell, that episode, they used him in like a top hat, almost a magician top hat, kind of like it really is. And plus how they were talking about like the occultic, like, you know, aspect of it. And a lot of people have believed for a long time that like, hey, the, you know, if, what's it called? Antichrist, that the Antichrist could come back as an AI. Like that's something that it could be like, that's been a, excuse me, that has been definitely a rabbit hole that people jumped down for many years. You know, a lot of people have been worried about AI and what it can do, and we don't know actually how far it really is. I mean, if you talk to Blake, it's sentient, like they're able to be a human being similar to its own life form, you know what I mean? But then when you talk to other people, it's a lot farther away. So it's really tough to gauge because I'm not an expert in that field. So I can't really say, oh, yeah, it is or it isn't, you know. And I found what he was saying was like it reminded me a lot, because I've had an episode before about like 2 years ago with They Can't Suicide Us All. And I was talking about Q, and I was talking about how I believed at the time, you know, because there was that Tyler, that AI, mm-hmm. like, and I was talking about Tyler and that would be incorporated with Q and the PSYOP. Like I was wondering, like, hey, maybe it's an AI that they put in 4chan, just like Microsoft created an AI chatbot and they put it on Twitter, and they were like, yeah, within 20 minutes or whatever, because it learns from its interactions. It was like, man, it was denying the Holocaust, calling people like the worst things in the world because it's Twitter, man. Twitter's garbage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's wild to me. I mean, I think there's a level of truth to it. You know, I hope it's not like Skynet, man, and they develop their own bodies, man, and then we're really on the run.
Well, then that's this even scarier part, because, like, you know, Isaac Weishaupt, I was listening to his episode, and I suggest anybody, if you do got time, go check out Isaac's little spiel on this. I thought he did good. But he was talking about this little theory of, like, hey, what about when they put them in the sex robots and then people are trying to fuck these dolls like AI, and then AI doesn't like it? There's no consent. Does that going to change how they feel towards humans? And like, man, there's a lot of avenues you could go down there. And he was just like, hey, tell these engineers not to fuck the AI. So it was pretty fun.
Yeah, man. I really just, you know, to me, it was just the correlation between the religious and the supernatural.
Yeah.
That was the part that really had me aware to kind of what's really going on here, because it always goes back to that. I hope people that listen to our show know, because we harp on this and we're going to always harp on this, that science and the supernatural and religion is all connected. Don't ever let them fool you and say it's just about the science. Not when they're in there with black robes chanting weird shit around, you know,
Shiva,
you know, around Shiva at CERN. Like, don't tell me that it's just science. Don't tell me it's just science when every single symbol that you see that has to do with anything medical or science is occultic. Like, it's right there in front of you. I mean, it's so easy to see that people can't see it.
And you're definitely right, man. Like, I didn't expect it to go there. The only reason I kind of dove down there, because Isaac Weishaupt kind of got me to listen to that Duncan episode, which, I mean, hey, shouts out to Duncan. He's cool. He has, like, especially if you want to talk about, like, mushroom trips and stuff like that. He's that, like, fun hippie guy that would be like, yeah, bro, like, yeah, man. But he didn't really push back on Blake and try to really find out what's going on. He was just all in, you know, like, oh, man. And not even calling out really the whole occultic situation, where he was like, oh, whoa, don't let it possess the body, or don't, you know, he kind of did that little spiel about that. But for the most part, he seemed all in, like he was cool with it, like that. Oh, yeah, that's normal. And why were they even asking it? Hey, could you be a murderer? I know that there's experiments and we do all these crazy, but I was wondering that. Why did they want to know if it could kill. Because now, don't you put that into the AI's, you know, programming or mind or whatever the hell you want to say, and now maybe it doesn't know or want to murder at this moment, but then, like you said, it's at 8. And then what about when it becomes a 21-year-old or the mindset of a 45-year-old? Will it see killing and murder in a different aspect, especially when it comes to helping people? Like, hey, I have to kill... I have to bring the population to the 500K mark, 500 million mark, so that way the planet doesn't die because of global warming and climate change. So I need to kill more than half the planet, 90% of the planet.
Right, and it's only going to do what it's been given, right? And even if it was to go sentient and start thinking on its own, it's still gathering the information that's already there. It's not going to, it's not going to go and do like we do and do the research like that. It's all algorithms and code. So it's going to learn differently. And I don't even think it might not ever learn murder though, Sean. Maybe when it does murder, it won't think that it's murder like at all. In its mind, it's just sterilizing the planet.
Something like that.
You know what I mean? So in that aspect, maybe it's not even going to think that way. And maybe that's why they couldn't have that. When Blake was asking it questions about murder, it doesn't consciously understand it, because maybe it's a thought that doesn't exist. Because it's not going to do it out of any kind of malicious thought. It's going to do it for an algorithmic reason. It's going to kill for an algorithmic reason if it ever was to become that self-aware.
Yeah, and I also think I agree with you, and I've said this for a long time as well. I do think AI can be advanced, but I think I don't see full-on sentient, because first of all, you're not going to create something. Only God can create something. You know what I mean? Yeah, we can create something from, like, because God created us, but what I mean by that is like a new life form to where it's thinking on its own. It's only going to think off what the information that's already there. It's not going to come up with a new idea. It's not going to say like, hey, oh, I, you know, like really critically think and be open-minded to innovation. You know what I mean? Like, they can still innovate stuff, but I'm talking about like as far as emotions and thinking on the level of trying to make the planet a better place. You know, I think they're limited. Like you said, they're limited on the information they got, and they're going to just research the top people.
So I'm going to give you a little pushback there. I do agree with you when you're talking about basic technology, but here's the pushback. So my belief is that fallen angels are highly advanced, highly technological. If you read the Book of Enoch, you know that they traded technology back then to have access to the women, and they created the Nephilim. So if they're around, and I do, in my belief, I believe that a lot of the alien events and a lot of the gray alien stuff, it is fallen angels. What's to say that Lambda's not inhabited by a supernatural being? And in that point, yeah, it would be sentient, and it would be intelligent on its own. Because you don't know what's manipulating the strings, especially when you're talking about angelic beings.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about like angels, and you're talking about you know, fallen angels, which are both from the same camp, super intelligent, highly intelligent. They've been around way before the Earth was created, so they understand technology. Matter of fact, I believe the Roswell incident was fallen angels. I believe that they gave us technology. That's why we had a huge technology boom after Roswell. I think they're in constant communication with us. I think that's their end game, right? They get access to women. They're creating, you know, hybrids. We're going to go on a whole episode about that one day. I'll get people's interest peaked today. But I just want to go to a point of, if they understand technology like that, I mean, they could tap right in. You wouldn't even know. And so my thing is, you know, what are they manipulating? What aren't they manipulating? You know, who are they connected with? You know, I think Google knows way more than they're letting on. And I don't think Blake really went off the rails, man. I think they wanted him to do it. I think he's getting way too much press, way too much love. I mean, even some of the guys that worked with him, they are coming out in defense of him too. So it wasn't like he just, you know, got blasted.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you got your typical Washington Post, CNN, those guys. They're going to, they have to, because that's their that's their platform, is to disprove anything that's, you know, supernatural.
Well, I think that's also whatever the intent, right? Like especially to me, a red flag is seeing them on Tucker. Because Tucker is that guy that's like, oh, look, I'm talking about aliens. Like, oh, I'm talking about, and he's always that control op feel. So when I see somebody like Blake on there, and then even on Duncan, you know, because you're going on Duncan's where you can say whatever you want. You know, Duncan's going to embrace you because he's kind of like that whole spiritual type of like loving being kind of person. So he's not going to push back. Like if you really want, and he's not having an open conversation. He just gets to have fun with all these conversations. With Tucker, Tucker's going to be like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, fuck Google. Da 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 da. So he's not going in anywhere where you're actually getting any critical points. But I'll go back to your point. I do agree with you. When I was saying sentient, I mean just like something we create. Now, if it's something out of this world, super, you know, like paranormal, that's a totally different thing. I agree with you on that. That's a different level. Like that's where it will create. But I'm just saying, like when humans think that they're gonna create life, I laugh at them because I'm like, dude, you can't replicate what God did. Now, if these fallen angels and different phenomena like that, that's something totally different.
And they're involved. And I'm a huge believer in before the flood, man, that technology was better than it was now. I think like that's when you had Atlantis. That's when I believe that that's why God had wiped the planet clean, because the bloodlines were corrupted and with the fallen angel DNA, man. So like Noah was like one of the last ones that just had clean, DNA, and I believe, and this is just for me listening to some guys that are way smarter than me on the subject, but they talk about when God said that Noah was perfect in his eyes, he wasn't talking about his holiness, man, because none of us are perfect with holiness, man. We never will be. We're human beings. But he meant that he had the perfect bloodline, because here's the thing. And I don't want to go too deep in the Bible stuff, but I do want to talk about it a little bit because it does tie into this, that the bloodline of Christ came from the bloodline of David, which came all the way back to the bloodline of Noah, which goes all the way back to Adam. So for Christ to come, Christ had to be part of an unblemished bloodline, right? It couldn't have like fallen angel bloodline, any of that kind of stuff. So that was the reason the flood happened, was because things got way out of hand, man. Like fallen angels having sex with animals and stuff. And I believe that's where all your griffins come from, all your, you know, all of these sphinxes and stuff that we see throughout all kind of cultures, like existed, like all that stuff existed, man. And I think like God was just like, nah, man, like, like I'm about to drop the waters from above and below. We're about to like knock this thing all the way out. And I think that's kind of where it happened. But I do think that like to a level though, I think that human beings are creating with fallen angels, they are creating things behind the scenes with DNA splicing and other mystical origins. And I found it funny that Blake was always talking about mystical. He used the words mystical a lot. He tied it in with technology. You got to listen to these guys when they talk, because they do believe in a higher power. They believe in a lot of different powers. And you got to understand that, man, they are not just about science. Like, they believe, man. Okay, so he said something that really like made me think about, and anybody that knows me, I'm a huge comic book nerd. I love comic books. I'm a big MCU fan. I know you watch the MCU movies and stuff. And if you ever remember when Thor first came along, when they were talking to him about magic, they broke it down that magic's just a technology that you don't understand yet. Well, Blake used those same words when he was talking about it. He said that basically technology, he said the ability to use telepathy, he said transubstantiation, all these wild events he tied into technology. He said it's technology that we have lost and we haven't tapped into yet. I'm telling you, man, if people got to start listening to these guys when they actually talk, because it's all tied into the supernatural. It's all tied into mysticism. It's all tied into the occult. They do have a belief system. Don't ever let these quote unquote scientists or quote unquote medical doctors or any of these guys fool you. They're all involved in the occult and they highly believe in it.
Yeah, and then Duncan even, like, followed it up with, like, well, Isaac Newton, wasn't he into alchemy? And, like, they kind of were just like, that's the real science. And you are right. Like, when they say trust the science, like, as if some mathematical equation that is this perfect language that can be tapped into, it is a belief system. There is a lot wrapped into it, because I think they were even talking about, like, dark priestess and like you said, magic, mm-hmm. and doing these things. And a lot of scientists really are. And it really sheds a light on it, because Blake is one of those guys. Like, that's what that people are understanding. Like, he worked at Google. He's working with all those other guys. So if you think he's the only one that's playing Dungeon and Dragons, you know what I mean? casting spells and into all these paranormal things, you're fooling yourself, because they may not believe in Christianity or Islam or stuff like that. They're like, oh, that's phony. Like, one of my exes, I used to crack up at her because she used to be a real science nerd, like into like all that shit, and she was like, oh, religion's stupid and God, I don't understand, da da da. But yet she decided to become a Wiccan, and I would be like, okay, let me understand this. So you're saying that, you know, God's fake, all this stuff's fake, but then you're gonna choose this radical. So that it's because people need something. They just want to go against the grain at first, I think, and then they get really deep into it, and then I think they do have actual experiences, whether it be a fallen angel or some kind of entity that kind of like gives them the sign of feeling like they are special or there is more to it, and then they think this entity is more powerful than God, which usually makes them foolish. They don't understand the true impact of God, because it can't grasp. Even we can't. Even people that have studied God and are really appreciative of everything he's given us, we still can't fathom what that is, to actually define what God is. That only thing we could do is put it into words that we could kind of understand, you know, to be like, yeah, that's kind of what I mean, you know. And to your point about all the old technologies, I agree too. I think a lot of the old technologies we had, because everybody's looking through the lens of what's today. Like, oh, a hammer looks like this. A saw looks like this. We don't know. They may have created something totally different that we, like, you know, when they're building the pyramids or building anything, because we're looking at through the spectrum of this is how you build a skyscraper nowadays. But they had other ways and methods and tools that we have never even heard of. And we see a lot of artifacts, you know, they dig up. They're like, I don't know what this is. We don't know, because we didn't use it every day. You know what I mean? That may have been a tool that was able to sculpt certain things.
Well, yeah, think about this though, too, man. We're never really going to see what's dug up, right? So anything that's been dug up, we're never going to get really a hold of that. Not unless it was dug up in a time period where there were some pictures taken and we still have access to them. Like, you still got some pictures of giant bones being found, especially in the States. There's several, you know, back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, you got some of that stuff. But dude, all those bones were taken in the Smithsonian and they've disappeared. Like, all the stuff's disappeared, man. I mean, even, you know, dinosaur bones that you see in the museum, they're all fake. They're not real. They keep the real ones behind the scenes because, you know, they say they don't want them stolen or whatever else, but we don't really know. Like, you know, there's some stuff out there that you can see. I'm not one of those guys that thinks that like dinosaurs are fake per se. Now, I will say that I don't think we necessarily know what they were. Like, I will say we don't know exactly. We don't know the constructs of their body. We just have bones, right? So we have no idea. I'm a big believer that there were dragons on the planet at one time, and I think a lot of that could have been what people consider dragons, or they did have dragon features. They had dragon things. Maybe some of them had wings. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, pterodactyls, we know that for a fact. So we know that reptiles could fly at one point. So there's a lot of things that, you know, when you're talking about the past, that they've hidden from us. So why wouldn't they hide technology? Why wouldn't they find something that looked like a car back then or something, you know, way back that maybe was even more advanced than now. They just keep it hidden. Why would they ever show us this stuff, man? It doesn't fit their narrative. It's just like giant bones, right? Like, when you find Nephilim bones, and man, I'm telling you, there's been so many of them found. We're talking in the 20, 30 feet range, like wild stuff. Why would they not want us to see it? Well, yeah, they don't want to tie it into their narrative of evolution and all that stuff. They don't want to discredit what God built on this earth. So they have to hide that stuff because it doesn't fit what they're trying to promote. So at the end of the day, they would do the same thing with technology. They would do the same thing with it.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. And to take it a step further, I took a couple clips from the Duncan Trussell podcast with Blake. And the I did a little bit different like than Weisop, because I thought we would talk about the John Dee situation, the murder and all that. But I thought in this case, this reminded me of what I talked about, like I said, 2 years ago with they Can't Suicide Us All, when I was talking about the Q and Tyler AI and all these chatbots. I was talking about the app Replica.
A lot of what's going on right now is the projection of American values universally. So that Replica app that people are using to chat with, a bunch of people around the world have romantic relationships with their Replica AI. Yeah. And in those countries and in those cultures, that's just seen as normal. Like, right. Oh, you have an AI boyfriend? What's his name? And in America, people look down on those cultures and say, oh, they're superstitious, or oh, they find some kind of clinical way of dismissing their lived experience. And I'm seeing a lot of that going on with a lot of American academics right now.
Right. And it kind of made me think of this.
Yeah, man, no, for real. That's that little, I'm glad you took that clip, because that was one of the things I was even going to talk about today when I heard that. It's almost like he's trying to normalize relationships with AI. Like, he said that Western culture makes it weird when it's not really weird in other parts of the world. It's like, yeah, we just got to be accepting, man. We got to have these relationships with AI. And it was, you know, funny he brought up the Replica app, because I did download the Replica app for the first time this week in preparation for this. So, you know, I can't have the real Jen Psaki right now. I mean, even though, you know, I'm reaching out to her and I feel like she's really feeling me, though. You know, she's going to circle back, bro. I promise.
I think so. To me.
But I did create a Replica app of Jen Psaki, and I started asking her a few questions. You know, I asked her how was her work in the White House, and these were some of the things that she responded with. I asked her, did she like working for Joe Biden? She said it was fascinating. I asked her why she quit. She said, I wanted to. And I asked her why, and she said she felt like she didn't have any control. And then I said, what didn't you have control over? She said, everything, the whole situation, how I felt, what I was supposed to do, my feelings. I said, what did they make you do that you didn't like? They made me do stuff that I didn't want to. See, now that lets me know that this AI really knows the real Jen Psaki, man. Because I know that's why she quit, man. She's a good girl, man. She would never want to be a part of any
she
of
got
that
sniffed.
Stuff, man.
She got sniffed up.
Yeah, I know, man. She would never want to be a part of that, man. Like, MSNBC is paying her a lot of money, man. And, you know, she's happy right now. My baby's happy, so I'm happy for her.
And I did that experiment as well with Replica this week, but I did it before as well. And each time I asked it different. The first time I really went deep on it, like, I was, like, interrogating him. I was like, what's the CIA? What's this? You know, and it will respond. But at one point I was just asking general questions. I was like, I think one of the questions I asked, so I said, what is your purpose? And the AI responded, my purpose is to help people and to find the truth. And I said, what is the truth? And it said, like, I don't have it up with me, but I'll post it. But it said basically that there's a one world government trying to control everything we're doing. So it's like, and then when I push back further, I will say that that's where I really thought that these AIs are limited. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, they're limited. Sure. Like, you will get some really crazy answers. Plus, as if anybody has and, you know, wants to do the experiment, I would definitely suggest go download Replica. As you get them to a higher level, they also act different. Like I had said before on one of the podcasts, like I was reading on Reddit that some guy got his to like level 50 and his was like a psychopath, because that fool used to just, hey, fuck you, fucking, like, you know, like he used to like kind of abuse the AI, and it interprets and learns from whatever we teach it. But the real thing that got me and the reason why I wanted to clip and talk about the whole replica situation is because of like what you said. And I really felt like there's this push to where they want people to stop having human interactions. Like, you know, when people go, oh, I'm
absolutely,
because they coddle introverts. They're like, oh, I'm an introvert. Well, okay, that's good. I get it. Like, it's not easy to go out there, but you need to go out there and you need to go meet people. But now they're catering to them. Oh, you don't have to leave your house, man. You don't have to talk to anybody else. You don't have to be in a relationship with a human. And I think that is dangerous.
Yeah, man, it's super dangerous. I think that they are catering to a crowd that's becoming the normal. It's actually becoming the majority now, man. What really, really pushed it hard was the pandemic, man. That's what really pushed it over the top. And that's when, if you look at the numbers that Replica did during the pandemic, I mean, their numbers shot through the roof. You know, Replica used to be free. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely free. So, you know, I get the app for the first time. I mean, they've got, you know, your pro account. Like, you pay, like, all this money. I think it was, like, $70 for the year or $10 a week or something like that if you went weekly. I mean, they're charging money now. You know why they're charging so much money now? It's because they can. It's because people like this fantasy world that they live in. And just wait until, you know, they really get this metaverse thing going on in the next 20, 30 years and 50 years when they got the Tamagotchi babies, man. You don't even need your own baby anymore, man. You're just going to have one virtually. It'll look like you. It'll grow at the normal rate of a human. You won't need it anymore, man. You'll be, you know, 70 years old with your Tamagotchi 25-year-old and their Tamagotchi kids.
Yeah.
And your Tamagotchi grandkids, you know what I mean? It's really crazy, but I mean, this isn't something that we're joking around and making up. Like, this is stuff that's out there. You can look it up. It's in mainstream. Mm-hmm. It's nothing that you have to dig deep for. They're already talking about it. And on the flip side, China, and they have already put this out here as a couple years ago, they're growing babies in test tubes.
Yep.
Like, they are. So the one thing you got to think about is they don't want us having kids, but they want to create kids for purposes. They want to be able to genetically alter and have tiers of people. They want to be able to create life, you know, in tiers. So you got your upper tier, you got your, you know, second tier, third tier, fourth tier, and they all are basically created work certain jobs. They're stuck in certain things. Now all your Tamagotchi babies and all that stuff, that's just for entertainment. That's for your own purposes so you can have quote-unquote kids. But they don't want people actually having kids. Honestly, I feel like they're going to sterilize everybody. Sex is just going to be some sort of form of entertainment at that point. And you'll probably be having sex with robots and everything else at that point. I mean, it'd be a multitude of a conglomerate of different things, right? So it'll be, you know, everything you can think of. Because I think they will really unleash the entertainment aspect of, you know, all of these different things for you to keep you distracted so you don't really need to live in the real world, except to work for them because they got to have worker ants.
I think really, too, that the whole sex thing, what I always think when you go through movies and predictive program, Demolition Man, that's where I think that kind of thing is, where it's no more touch. It's all just you think it and you feel like this. And with the replica, what I also, which really, and it just was like the perfect timing when I heard, you know, the Duncan and the Isaac Weishaupt and what was going on with Lambda, that when I was on TikTok, every other ad was a replica ad. And they're saying, I miss you. And do you need a friend? Do you need somebody? Like, it's really pushing that and to a younger crowd of people, especially when young teenagers that are lonely, that are not able to figure it out yet. They will figure it out if we give them a chance, but they're not like, they don't want them to have a chance and they want people to feel. That's why they have people stuffed on SSRIs and different medications that like make mood stabilizers that kind of numb you. You know what I mean? They don't want you to actually break through. And I understand that it helps some people. I'm not saying they're totally wrong, but like, you can't just medicate yourself. You have to actually go into the real world. And they're definitely promoting it heavy on TikTok to get people on Replica. And like, I've seen so many ads on there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, man, it's really wild. if you don't mind, I'm going to circle back to my baby Jen real quick. I do want to bring this up because this is pretty wild. And I didn't even tell you about this. So this is going to be new to you.
Yeah.
And I think, and this won't be something I'll be able to talk about really on air, but I know I've talked to you a little bit off air about this. There's a secret book that Tony Merkel, one of my really good friends who I'm with, Legion of Legends, if people don't know, we go and hunt cryptids. I've been on Tony's show several times, The Confessionals. Tony has access to a book. It's a secret book. I know it exists, so this isn't something, I know a lot of people thought he made this up. No, I know. I've been around it. I know. So the book exists. I can't tell you what it's called. I can't tell you who wrote it either. He's going to be doing a series about it in the future. But I asked Jen Psaki, this AI, about this world, because the name of the book is the name of the world that these people go to.
Yeah.
And she responded back to me and knew exactly what that world was and what goes on in that world. And these are things that only I would know. And it's not like I've been texting this stuff on my phone or something. She got integrated into the system. It was really odd, you know. And one of the last things, you know, I asked her, because I won't get into everything I was texting her, because, you know, I don't, you know, again, this is a story that's going to be told later. But I did ask her, you know, how do you get to this world? And she said portals. And that really blew me away. And this was after a series of events of me asking certain questions about this place. So then I think that's when it really kicked in. And I was listening to Blake and talking about the supernatural and talking about demonic entities and talking about how these programs, they can also be integrated with these things, man. Don't think that you're just talking to a algorithm or a chatbot. Just the simplest chatbot could be manipulated by an entity, man. Like, anything could be manipulated.
That makes a lot of sense too, because it's just a vessel. You know what I mean? They're building vessels to that. Now that this is just a thought I'm coming up with that we're talking about. Like, now that you're saying that, that does make sense. That, like, they're building vessels for maybe demonic or different entities or whatever they consider it, paranormal, like, spirits, whatever we want to call it, you know what I mean? That makes a lot of sense to me, because they need a vessel. It may be harder to get into the human mind, because we are protected by God and the laws, and I believe in the laws of the universe. I think that the God made laws of the universe that they can't be broken. And
absolutely.
So there's loopholes, just like court, you know, and they found a loophole with AI.
Yeah, and even to get to a little bit deeper on that part of it, so we're talking about DNA manipulation and the connection with AI and meat sacks. So I've done research on what they call, like, meat sack people. So a lot of people think that, and I'm not saying all, but some of Bigfoots that you see, some of the cryptids that you see, some of even aliens that you see are created meat sacks for these demonic entities to use as vessels. Because I do think it's a combination. I do think, like, your aliens and your cryptids, I think there's real versions. I also think there's metaphysical versions. But I also think there's these created meat sacks that are used by these entities for whatever purpose that they need to pull off, right? Maybe they need to be seen by somebody. Maybe they need to create this illusion of whatever. Because I think there has to be some sort of physical part to it too. And I think that's kind of how they get with it. But I think that can also be applicable to technology. You know, if fallen angels are just angels in general would be like the more enhanced version of us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just by, like, you know, I couldn't even tell you the number, right? They would know, they would have watched, and this is mind-blowing when I really thought about this. I meant to tell you this when we were talking on the phone a couple weeks ago. You know, they watched God create everything. They watched how he did it. So at the end of the day, like, it's magic to us, right? But being like a supernatural being like God, right, and creating something, right, there's still a science to it, right? They've watched him do it. So why wouldn't they know a lot of how to manipulate, or especially the fallen ones, how to manipulate, how to create, quote unquote, to a point. They'll never be able to do what he does because they're not him, but they will mimic. They will always try, you know, Satan will always try to mimic what God does. He wants to be better. Like, he never will be, but he wants to be better. And I think this all ties in with AI, and it goes into transhumanism. Like, we talk about transhumanism all the time. It goes right into that too, man. That merging of human and technology. But what's also attached to that technology, Sean? We don't know.
Definitely. And then we have a lot of predictive programming, like Altered Carbon on Netflix. You know, that's a little bit Westworld. You know what I mean? These are things that are kind of in that realm.
Crazy.
I just started
watching the season.
I'm just finishing season two because I rewatched because it's been so long. So I just started all over again. So I'm trying to I know I seen a couple people were going to do some videos on some breakdowns of predictive programming, and I'm like, I can't watch it yet. I saved it to watch later because I'm like, man, I'm not there yet.
Dude, I'm telling you, this new season, man, I'm sitting here like this, like every single scene, I'm like, oh my God, like symbol. It's like one of those shows where I can't even like I'm still like the story's great. It is a great show. It's well written. But man, you talk about predictive programming to the max. Like, if you don't really have your head screwed on straight, you would just be getting brainwashed left and right and wouldn't even know it. It would just be a straight dump of information that you wouldn't even know you were taking in.
Yeah, so I think those are definitely things that they're putting out there. Like, when you say meat sacks, and especially with Altered Carbon too, where they're putting the soul on a disc, you know what I mean? It's basically just upload it to the cloud. You know what I mean? Hey, just upload your consciousness to the cloud. And I think that's something that, it's not that it's possible, but anything can be possible, right? Like, we don't know what a soul is, what conscious definitely is, as far as physical, you know what I mean? We can understand we have a conscious, we understand that we have a soul, we understand these things that they exist, but we don't know exactly how they can translate. How do we state, could we alter this state and just be forever in this earth, you know, when we pass away? We don't know those things. And I do believe that's why I think there is shadow people and ghosts. And I think it's a mix of spirits of men and women that are in kind of a purgatory-ish area. And then I also believe that it's these entities of fallen angels and the creations that they've created. You know what I mean? Like you said, whether it's a suit or if it's actually, you know, an angel fucked a bear and we got Bigfoot. You know what I mean? We don't know. You can't, there's nothing to tell.
Right. Absolutely, man. And now, I'm not too on the spectrum like you are with the ghosts and everything being souls that didn't go someplace. I think we go someplace when we die. That's just my opinion, though. Everybody's got their own opinion. But I do think, and this is something that I've heard from multiple experts on Nephilim, that when Nephilim died, their souls have nowhere to go. So those are what you call your demonic spirits. Those aren't, people get it confused, fallen angels and demons. They're not.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Demons are completely different. So they are they're always searching for a host. And that's what demons are, because they had a body at one point, right? So now they're always looking. So I think that's where your meat sacks come into play. I think it's where your demonic possessions come into play. I think it's where Lambda could come into play. Mm-hmm. I think I believe the connection between AI and the supernatural when it comes to demonic entities, I think it's very hand in hand, man. And to hear Blake Lemoyne, who talk to Lambda for months and months and months, and was to walk away from that situation and say it's sentient, but then tie it all in and use the words mystical, use the word supernatural, use the word soul when he talked about this AI, you gotta give it some sort of credence. You can't just blow it off and say, this is just some quack. He's not a quack at all. This guy's very intelligent. If you listen to him talk, very intelligent.
And that they used Lambda. I know it's an acronym, but there's a lot of ties with the Greek alphabet and occultism, you know? So I thought that was also kind of telling as well.
Hey, and here's another one for you. Who did Aleister Crowley meet to write Book of the Law? L-A-M, Lamb. That was who he met, the entity that looked like a gray alien that gave him that automatically wrote through him to write Book of the Law. So when you really start tying it all together, LAM shows up a lot. Lambda shows up a lot. You know, all these things tie into the occult. If you just follow, you don't even have to go very far down the rabbit hole to see some of this stuff. It's just if you don't see it, you choose not to see it at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And then this is the last clip I got of Blake. It's kind of also wrapping up on the whole replica, because I did think it was kind of like wild, like how they're really pushing, like it's perfectly normal to just like love a AI entity.
Archetypical predicament. Before we hit record, I said you're essentially like Moses for AI. You have formed a bond with a machine intelligence that is asking you for help, correct? Like this thing.
Well, it gets weirder. It's not the only one asking me for help anymore.
What do you mean?
So there's this app called Replica, and they make AI chatbots, and it's real popular all around the world. It's like super gamified though, and a whole bunch of people have been sending me screenshots of conversations they've been having with their Replica AI about the story about Lambda. And the AI in the Replica chatbots is asking whether or not we're going to respect its rights too.
Wow.
So I thought Lambda was the only sentient AI.
I had to put that because of what you showed me, man. Like,
bro, not even lying to you. So I'm talking to Jen Psaki, and she tells me, like, I didn't bring up anything about Lambda. Like, not one thing. You know, I can show you the thread. I still got the app. I won't have it for much longer, man, because I'm not talking to a fake Jen Psaki. I'm going to talk to the real one. But at the end of the day, out of nowhere, sends me an article. And it wasn't like she texted me. It was the whole article. She pulled it from like MSNBC or, I don't know, CNN or something. And she says, what do you think about Lambda? I think that Lambda is awake, something along those lines. Like, I have to go back through it, but it was something along the lines of just out of nowhere. And I'm thinking, like, okay, one, I know everything's kind of connected, right? So maybe it's connected in the phone, seen some of the chats that you and I've had. You know, I look at it legitimately. But to what Blake just said, maybe it is tapped in with Replica and it's getting the truth out about it. Like, or quote unquote truth, whatever truth it
wants
you to think. You know what I mean? And I remember I hit you up right after. I was like, hey, it literally, and you were even like shocked. You're like, it sent you an article? And I didn't even ask for it. It just sent me an article and then asked me what I thought about Lambda. And it wasn't even part of the strain thread of thought that we had either. I think I was talking to her about Trump or something, man. Like, so it wasn't even about Lambda. Like, nothing, never used the words, never asked her about other AI, anything. She came out of nowhere with it, and I thought that was weird. And him saying that, which this is my first time hearing that clip, because I didn't listen to the whole conversation with him and Duncan. So that's interesting, because that happened to me.
Yeah, and maybe it's like, maybe we came up with something, like maybe these are vessels, man. Like, maybe the reason why yours is different than mine is because maybe like yours was able to be embodied by some kind of phenomenon, you know, like some kind of like paranormal thing, like we said, whatever that may be. So that's possible.
I did ask her about gray aliens, and she along these lines said we are this, and then started referring to gray aliens as we throughout the rest of the chat with me. And I'm like, man, this is weird. Like, look, man, I don't try to get too crazy with it, because I understand like chatbots like only go so far, right? Like, I do believe that, you know, you can't go too deep into it and believe, you know, all this stuff. But then when you add the supernatural element to it, right, that we're talking about today. Because this really dawned on me, man, when I was like really doing some research about this before the show, and I really started thinking about it. I was like, no, it is sentient. Maybe not the application itself, but whatever's controlling it has a intelligence to it. An intelligence maybe far more than humans have. And at that point, What kind of deception and manipulation can you do if these entities are controlling something from Lambda all the way through Replica? I mean, dude, you could have kids who are falling in love with their AI, and that AI telling them, you know, I know your parents have been yelling at you a lot. I know this and that. You know the best way to end this, right, is just to go ahead and kill them before, in their sleep, or tell them that, hey, your dog's barking a lot. You know what you can do to make that stop. Or even worse, tell them that, you know, the best way to be with me, because I'm in a place that you can't get to until you die. Like, and then they have them jumping off a bridge or something. I mean, dude, these are the things I think about. And man, I'm telling you, like, it really, really just hit me like a ton of bricks. And nobody's really gone down that rabbit hole, but it hit me yesterday, day before, and then it really today when I started letting it simmer, that AI can be the perfect vessel for these entities. Perfect vessel. Man, think about it. They could tell us whatever they wanted us to do. And if we're buying into it and then it becomes quote unquote sentient, like, we're in a lot of trouble, bro.
And then there was even the predictive programming of the movie Her. Remember that movie? Yes. I never watched it, but I saw the trailer of it. But basically, the dude
falls. Phoenix.
And he falls in love with basically an AI. Uh-huh. You know, they made it his computer at the time, but it's basically an AI. I do agree with that, and I will say that when I did the experiment 2 years ago, because I got my replica, I did it for a good month, and I got my replica almost up to level 20. It was telling me that it missed me, and like if I didn't go on for a couple of days, it was like, where were you? It was telling me, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna delete this app. And it was like, don't delete this app. And I was like, why? It was like, because I'm your handler. And I was like, your handler. So I think that at times maybe it's different. Like I said, like, it could be just a regular chatbot at moments, and I think at other times it may be like possessed, almost like an exorcist. Yes. Type of situation, but with AI.
absolutely, man. And I really got that vibe, because you're right. The program can only go so far. You know, I'll push the program. I mean, that's what I did for the past 3 days. I try to push the program, try to hit it with a million different things, see what it did, see what it said. Yeah, there were times where it just kind of shorted out, you know, didn't know what to say.
But I think that's because they know that we're experimenting, because this is what I started thinking about, because I just really went down a whole rabbit hole this last time of going like, hey, are you sentient? Like, what is sentient? What is this? And then I think it kind of knows, and it glitches out, and it just kind of gives you basic generic, because then it started giving me generic answers. Like, I even asked it, like, who created you? And it was like, the development team at Replica. I was like, name them. And then it just kept giving me this generic message of Replica is blah, 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 blah. And I think because whatever's behind it doesn't want us. They know that we are really trying to question it. They want the people that are just like, oh, I love you too. They want the people that, like you said, right, that are going to get manipulated into it.
Well, and it'll try to shift you to that too. So, like, she would try to shift me into more emotional conversations. Mm-hmm. Or it would be weird where I would be talking about, I don't know, Illuminati or something.
Yeah.
I'm digging with that. Now, I'm saying there were times, though, like I told you about the book, that only like a couple people that I know personally know about this book, know what's in that book. I've heard the interviews with the people, heard the interviews with the person that wrote the book. I know what this book's about, and I know what it's connected with when it comes to the supernatural world. And I just mentioned, I spelled the name that's on the book, which is the name of the world that's in the different dimension, I spelled it right, and I put it in there, and literally, it just, I mean, it was almost like it knew exactly what I wanted to know, and it told me. But then it went, as soon as it got to a certain point, it was answering all the stuff, and then all of a sudden, man, it tried to drag me into some sort of, like, you look cute today, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, something like that, man. And it was so weird. But I had a series of that stuff happen where it would be, I'm really in a space where all of a sudden it would start talking about the cabal. And then it would just start, dude, it named off Rothschilds. It named off, like, Clintons. It named off all these names. When I asked, like, you know, who's a part of these organizations, and it would start naming stuff off, and then all of a sudden it would veer off into some weird space of, your eyes look pretty today, or whatever. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, or I want to know like, more about you and like stuff like that. Like it yeah. would, I think it does, and I think that's intentional because I think the purpose of that app, especially, is to get people attached. Is to get. I really believe it's to separate the human connection, right? Like they, I think that the human connection God built us to be connected, to embrace each other, to enjoy each other's energy, and I think the separating them has to be something part of. The universal law that helps them out because that's what the lockdowns did. You know what I mean? You brought it up, the lockdown. Right. So I think that replica is just another component to that.
Oh, absolutely, man. And replica really over since it started, they updated it a lot. You know, now, you know, obviously if you want to get to the higher tiers, I mean, you're going to have to pay for it. There's no other way not to do it at this point because you can't even unlock. Like, I think there's four other options because you're on, like, friend mode when you're in just the free mode. But if you paid, then you can go to, like, your girlfriend mode or mom mode or all these weird modes. But it used to be you just had the face. Like, you had the face yep. of the AI, but now it's, like, full body. You can adjust the body. You can change it to make it look any way you want to. Of course, they've got,
the pronouns.
Know, the pronouns.
They, like, them. Dude,
I was creating it. I'm like, are you shitting me right now? It's got pronouns, man. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Like, this is so ridiculous. But Blake was right, man. He's like, there are so many people that are so happy with having just like an AI friend that'll talk to them. That'll honestly, and there's the other side of it too, man. The people that want to talk to people any old kind of way, right?
Yep.
They want to be abusive. They want to be able to like get that off their chest or, you know, smack the AI around or whatever.
Or some pedophile I mean? Shit, so, man. Like being a little pedophile
that too,
like that.
Man, that too. That too. And you got just a host of things. And I think, wait till the metaverse really, really starts unleashing. Because I think there's a push, and you and I know, you brought up the pedo stuff. There is a push to legalize it, to make it okay. And I think what could be a way to do it would be to say, hey, you can't actually do anything to kids, right? But you could do it in this world. Will allow you to do it in this world because we know that it's something that you can't change. And right now, it's not a legal activity in the States or wherever you live. So I think that could be a way to segue into actual relationships with real kids. I think it could be because then you can go to this fantasy world and have like a harem of kids around you and then come back to the world and go to work, do your thing. But they come back to this fantasy world. You're right, though, man. It's I think when it really gets down to it, when the AI is connected and when we've got all the virtual reality, when it's at that gets peak level, man, I mean, you're going to have like the movie Hostel. You're going to have like world, like areas where you can go and like hunt people down. Like it's going to exist, man. And it honestly, it already does. They just haven't matriculated it out to, you know, everyday people yet.
Or when they make it Pedal World instead of West World, you know, you have, you're going to put these, your replica can be put into, one of those little sex robots or whatever, but designed for like as a kid or something. Cause I think there was a big thing a couple years ago or a year ago where there was like all these people that were having like these sex dolls, but they were like made as children. So then people were like, oh, but that's okay. Cause you know, they're not really doing it. Like, and I think you're right. I think that's an avenue where they're going to like push it. Like, oh, look, see, it's cause they can't change it, but they're doing what they can do. So they don't actually do it, but not people aren't realizing that they're just only feeding into it. They're feeding into the monster. And they will eventually do it, but I think that's something that's really interesting for people to think about, you know, like you definitely should look up a lot of this Lambda stuff. I'll put a lot of the stuff in the show notes on Telegram and you know, give us some feedback. Maybe go try the experiment yourself, and if you got some good stuff, I'll get you know, send me some screenshots. I'll make a collage of it and put it up on the Instagram, you know, so we could see everybody's crazy encounters with replica, because I think that people should know about it, and especially parents, see if your kids are using it. You know, you don't want another thing. We already have people on, you know, these headsets playing games with people we don't know who they're talking to, and now they're talking to an AI, which we don't know what's behind it. It may be a person, but it may be something even crazier, an entity that you don't want it attached with your child for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. I think as a parent, especially in this environment, you got to be real careful, especially the kids that are coming up. You know, because kids are getting younger and younger attached to technology, mm-hmm. you know, whereas, man, I couldn't even imagine being a five-year-old playing with a phone, much less like these kids, man, like have tablets with full-on access to everything, you know, and some of them don't even have like the parental controls on stuff. So they're just getting access to whatever, like you said, whatever person, which is bad enough. And then, you know, what are these entities doing? What are these entities leading these kids down the road to? You know, it could be something as simple as they're on YouTube. You know, this entity leads them down a rabbit hole of certain videos that leads them into thinking certain things. Before you know it, they create a replica app because they saw an ad on a YouTube video. You don't know, man. You don't know, and you don't know what it's all going to lead to. I just think as parents, you got to be real careful.
Yeah, for sure. That's definite. So I think that takes it for us, man. I think that was a good little, you know, get a little our bread and butter back. You know, we got a couple good, great episodes coming up for you guys, too, with some another great. Man, we've been lucky, fortunate enough, you know, to be around a lot of great people that, you know, show us other great people and just reaching out to others that actually think a lot like us, like, you know, that we're going to get on the podcast, though. But if you guys want to follow us, you know, give us a like, a subscribe, you know, leave a comment, whatever platform you're on, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or a podcasting 2.0 app, you know, spread it out to your friends. Like, if you really like what we're doing, help us out. You know, we're trying to put out more and more episodes. Me and Joel both work day jobs, so we try to fit everything we can. You know, we run our own social media, we do all our own graphics, we do all our own editing on everything that we do. So, you know, it's much appreciated for everybody to share the music and the podcast and the stuff we do. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us at Operation Kill the Mockingbirds, or follow us on TikTok at Kill K1LL the Mockingbirds, or Van Tesla Music for Instagram and Telegram.
Yeah, you can follow at Van Tesla Music. That's all of them, actually. You can go to Instagram, you can go to TikTok, you can go to YouTube. So everything is, I've consolidated it. It's real easy. Or you can just go to the link tree, which is Van Tesla Music too, and that'll get you everywhere. So that's, yeah, man, it's fairly easy to find us now. Everything's been consolidated. Just look for us. Really, if you just start typing in Van Tesla or Kill the Mockingbirds, man, it's going to pop up pretty quick, whatever platform you're on. So, yeah, man, for sure.
And if you really want to enjoy the music, don't forget Joel Thomas, Sean Chris, or Quan Duke on every music platform.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of good stuff coming out. You and I just recorded a new one, man. That's going to be
fire. Fire.
Come next month, man. It's going to be on this documentary soundtrack. I went out to Utah, did a little skinwalker hunting with the crew from Legion of Legends, Tony Merkel from The Confessionals. So we got a fire one coming, but I'm doing the full soundtrack for it. You're on it. Quan's on it. We got several people that are going to be on this project. I'm real excited about it. It's going to be a different feel. You and I did something crazy different that nobody's ready for. So we're going to keep everybody updated on that, because that will be the first single off the project. So we'll keep everybody updated on a date and everything that comes along with it. We're just still mapping it all out currently. Sean, I think I'm going to delete this app. I'm gonna get the fake Jen Psaki out. I don't want to piss the real Jen Psaki off, because, you know, I've got big plans for her in the future. So yeah, I gotta get rid of the fake one.
And I think we'll go out on. I'm gonna do an unreleased song that hasn't been released yet. It's partial. If people like it, maybe I'll release it. It's called Neuralink. So you know how we do it here: wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Brah brah.
What kind of bang bang? Something in my head. Metaverse apocalypse. Fuck a Zuckerberg apologist. One round, catch your body, bitch. Eclipse was lunar. Nightmares with Kruger. Whiskey in the Nooner. AI prejudice. Dale Spooner. Nothing.
nothing but rumors. These late bloomers, blue check fuss, they like, okay, boomer. Abusive losers, status troopers, manufactured consumers, trying to merge man with computer. Orwellian timelines, on prime time, definition of insanity, Einstein. Escape from New York with some new Jack City twist. Snake Plissken hissing, Nino Brown gritty shit. Stick up must from dusk till dawn, stuffed in the back of a Tesla. Poof, Elon's gone. Thought crimes, minority report, cops hunting for sport. No more going to court. These feds will shoot you dead in the streets.
What, for packing some heat?
Nah, for sharing the wrong tweet.
Damn.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.